So we're continuing with local news and features. It's batch six. It's Tim and Teresa, and four more headlines and stories coming up for you. And Teresa's going to do the headlines first this time.
Oh, that's exciting. Right, here we go. Number one. Sorry about this. Pervert warned schoolgirl, "I'll tell your mum if she refused to send nude photos." And the second one is £306 million NHS cuts will leave Stoke-on-Trent patients without vital support.
And my headlines are Stokey cycling legend Les signs up for a grueling 100-mile race a bit later in the year at the age of 81. And charity secures 25 homes to fight homelessness and rescue domestic abuse victims. So I'll be reading those shortly, but over to Teresa, who's going to do the first story for us in batch six. Okay.
A homeless pervert has been jailed after sending an explicit photo of himself to a 13-year-old schoolgirl who he then blackmailed. Brendan Reed believed he was having sex chats with a girl named Layla. But Stoke-on-Trent Crown Court heard the 37-year-old was, in fact, speaking with a police decoy. He even blackmailed Layla into sending him nude photos, telling her he would tell her mum that she'd been talking to an older man. Prosecutor Barry White said the agent behind the sting sent the first message, but Reed decided to reply and told Layla to add him on WhatsApp or Snapchat. Mr. White said an agent under the decoy Layla started communicating with the defendant, stating that her date of birth was in 2006 and saying she was seeking a male between the ages of 18 to 25. Layla says hi and gives the defendant her mobile number and Telegram, but the defendant said she must use WhatsApp or Snapchat. She said she was 13 years old and said, "Sorry, I can't speak to you." The defendant then asked if she'd ever had sex before and if she'd met anyone on the app yet. He told her he was 35 years old and asked if she'd ever had an older man before, and he sent her an explicit photo. He asked for an explicit photo of her and she said no, so the defendant said, "I'll tell your mother and you'll get in a lot of trouble." Reed, who has 19 previous convictions for 24 offences, pleaded guilty to attempted sexual communications with a child. Hamish Noble, mitigating, said the defendant has spent 12 and a half of the last 15 years in custody and was released 4 years ago. He was doing well following his release and was in work. He had a good relationship. Things were going well. Unfortunately, he re-established contact with his brother, who has since passed away, and he destabilised. He was in a low period of his life and he acted out of character. He's not calculated in any particular way. Reed was sentenced to 15 months in prison and made the subject of a sexual harm prevention order, SHPO, for 10 years. Judge Richard McConaghy told him, "Between November to December 2003, you engaged in an online conversation with a profile you believed was a 13-year-old girl. That conversation quickly became sexual and you blackmailed her. You said you'd tell her mother if she didn't send you images, and you sent her images. In 2011, you were made subject of an indeterminate sentence for public protection following a robbery. In 2023, you were subject to a suspended sentence in Ireland for public disorder, which amounts to an aggravating factor when you committed this offence. You sent her sexual imagery and solicited such imagery from her." What a bad man.
Yeah, so next story from me is Stoke cycling legend Les signs up for a grueling 100-mile race at the age of 81. Les West has signed up for this year's 100-mile Dougie Mac bike ride, and the 81-year-old cycling veteran, originally from Henley, is offering some key advice to others who may be taking part. The grueling race sees participants cycle from Stoke-on-Trent to North Wales before returning to the Potteries. Les is hoping to do this year's bike ride in under 6 hours. He said, "I do it because my father was cared for by Dougie Mack and they were very good to him. I have had friends in the hospice too who were all looked after very well. The team there do a fantastic job." The Dougie Mack 100 Sporty Bike Ride is on Sunday, September the 14th, mirrors the historic Potts 100 route. The route from Stoke-on-Trent to Llangollen harks back to the 70s and 80s as a favourite among pro cyclists, including Les heading out of the Potteries. Cyclists will pass through Warr and Audlem on their way to Llangollen before returning to the Potteries through Nantwich. Along the route, participants will take in the beautiful countryside of Staffordshire, Shropshire and Cheshire. And for anyone thinking of signing up for the ride, Les has this advice. Make sure you're capable and prepared, do some training to get a few rides in and get a few miles on your legs. Dress sensibly. It's no good turning up in shorts and a thin vest if the weather is cold or raining, as that's no good for your body, and ride with a group of people who are at a similar level to you. It's always easier riding with others as you spur each other on. Les was a dominant figure of amateur and professional cycling in Britain during the 60s and 70s. He won the Milk Race twice, came second in the World Amateur Road Race Championship, and finished fourth in the World Professional Championship. In 2009, he was inducted into the British Cycling Hall of Fame and was also inducted into the Stoke-on-Trent Sporting Hall of Fame. The Dougie Mack 100 Sportive is one of two bike rides taking place on the same day. The shorter 50 kilometres gravel route will see participants soak up the sights of Stoke-on-Trent as they ride down the local canals and bike tracks. This route is designed to celebrate the best of the city, with cyclists passing by Stoke landmarks including Middleport Pottery, Bathpool Park, Chatterley Whitfield and Parkhall Country Park. Participants are encouraged to ride as fast or slow as they like, with various stops along en route for cyclists to grab refreshments. So next story now from Teresa.
£306 million NHS cuts. Sorry. £306 million NHS cuts will leave Stoke-on-Trent patients without vital support. Council bosses say swinging NHS cuts will cost Stoke-on-Trent taxpayers and vulnerable residents millions of pounds. NHS organisations in Staffordshire are planning to make £306 million worth of savings this year in order to meet nationally set targets. But senior managers and elected members of Stoke-on-Trent City Council have hit out at the proposals, saying Potteries residents will lose vital support, and they also believe that some of the cuts will simply shunt costs onto the council, self-funders and even other parts of the NHS. Bosses at Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent Integrated Care Board, the ICB, insists that they are committed to maintaining service quality and believe that some changes will lead to better outcomes for patients. Members of the City Council's Adults and Children's Scrutiny Committees grilled NHS officials on the savings proposals during a special joint session. Peter Tomlin, Director of Adult Social Care, explained why the City Council, along with Staffordshire County Council, had voted against the proposal at a recent ICB board meeting. The operational plan was nevertheless approved by a majority of board members. Mr. Tomlin acknowledged that the ICB savings target, the second biggest in the country and representing 9% of NHS spending in Staffordshire, would be incredibly difficult to achieve. He said, "I think we have to recognise that this affects every member of staff, from the chief executive to frontline staff. But the guidance is clear that these reductions should not be seen as a directive to reduce funding for direct services to residents. Our concern is that some aspects of these savings are exactly that. One of the council's key concerns relates to Cuts Continuing Healthcare, the CHC, which it fears will place additional costs on social care. Mr. Tomlin said that in a worst-case scenario, it would cost the council an extra $7 million, with a $4 million impact on self-funders. He added, "The concern is also that if these costs are not met, there will be further admissions to hospital, so it will be a self-defeating in that sense." Elizabeth Disney, Chief Transformation Officer at the ICB, said she recognised that concerns over particular parts of the operational plan, but insisted that it also contained many proposals to improve services and deliver better outcomes for patients, such as through less restrictive care. In relation to the CHC, Ms. Disney said that Staffordshire and Stoke-on-Trent is a significant outlier, with the ICB spending well above the national average. She said, "What we've seen is that by reviewing individual circumstances, applying the CHC framework in the way it probably should always have been applied, we're finding that there is opportunity to manage people's care in a different way. In some cases, that means they won't be eligible for CHC-funded care. There's a conversation to be had there on how we work together as a group of partners so people's needs are met and, wherever possible, we minimise moving costs around the system. But it's very clear in the framework that the NHS has to fund." Another major concern for the council is that the ICB's decision to end the use of private providers for adults' ADHD assessments. The ICB's reasoning is that because some of these assessments have to be redone once a patient returns to the NHS for treatment, it is not a good use of taxpayers' money. Councillor Daniela Santoro said she was angry at the decision, which she believes will mean longer waits for patients. She said, "The reason people use those private providers is because there's a 2-year wait for an ADHD assessment. So how are you going to mitigate that? If there's currently a 2-year wait and you're getting rid of private contracts, will that not increase the wait time for people who need an ADHD assessment so their employer or college can make reasonable adjustments? Or so they're not self-medicating, or they're not hitting their GP because they don't know what's wrong with them. These people languish without a diagnosis. They can't engage with their families. Relationships break down, and it puts a burden on the taxpayer and the local authority." Ms. Disney admitted that waiting times across the country are too long, and there was a risk that waits could get longer as a result of the ICB's decision. But she explained that the waiting lists would be clinically assessed to ensure that those most in need would get an assessment sooner. Further support could also be provided via GPs. Other committee members pointed out that private ADHD assessments would be done to NHS standards and questioned why they would need to be redone. The committee voted to support plans for the City Council to carry out its own impact assessment on the ICB savings plan. And Ms. Disney said the ICB was committed to transparency and would cooperate with this review. So there you are.
Riveting stuff, eh? So the next story from me now is charity secures 25 homes to fight homelessness and rescue domestic abuse victims. People facing homelessness and domestic abuse have been thrown a lifeline after a city charity secured 25 new supported homes across the city in Stoke-on-Trent. Stoke-based Honeycomb Group helps people, including care leavers, families fleeing violence, and those rebuilding their lives. Staff transform the lives of thousands of local people each year through safe accommodation, tenancy, sustainment, and 24/7 supported housing schemes. It includes people searching for affordable housing, fleeing abusive relationships, and overcoming homelessness. Now those in that situation have access to even more housing and support after the Honeycomb Group secured three new properties across North Staffordshire. The charity is working with socially minded landlords to provide homes for individuals and families in need. The properties include a 14-bed scheme for young people, including care leavers, five safe accommodation apartments for individuals and families fleeing abuse, and a 6-bed home providing semi-independent living for local people overcoming homelessness. In addition to helping local people, the new homes will support regeneration across Stoke-on-Trent, bringing old empty buildings back to life, including within conservation areas. It will also continue the organisation's groundbreaking partnership work with landlords and developers, solidifying positive relationships that have a life-changing impact on people across Staffordshire. Kerry Birtles, Executive Director of Support and Wellbeing, said, "Securing these homes means we can reach more people, giving them the stability and support they deserve, whether it's those individuals who are care experienced or a family who requires safety from the impact of domestic abuse. These homes represent hope and a fresh start. They're more than bricks and mortar, they're a foundation for recovery, growth and independence for a range of people with a range of different needs. We're really proud to provide these spaces that offer not only safety, but the opportunity for a new chapter." So keep listening, got more stories coming for you in batch number 7.